that that was both wonderful and challenging for you. Without the challenge, you can't really appreciate the wonder. So I hope that was good. And also, we're mindful of those of you who maybe didn't have family come up for Thanksgiving. We know the holidays sometimes are hard for us, and instead of being reminded about our blessings, sometimes we are burdened by a feeling of the lack of them. And I would like to say that God is with both of us in those moments. He knows what it is like to be surrounded in His Son Jesus by friends and to feel alone. And so He shares in your hardship in that, and He shares in your blessing. So glory be to God. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit about thankfulness. Billy kicked us off last week and did a tremendous job, and I just want to say thank you for that. We'll go over a few of the things that he said in just a little bit, but what I want to do now is kind of ask you to think about something. When in your life have you ever experienced ungratefulness? Just total ungratefulness. You went out of your way to serve somebody, maybe to cheer somebody up. You made some sacrifices, and not so much as a thank you. Not even one of these. You know, I mean, we want one of those when we drive, right? When you drive and you let somebody pass, like you've let somebody pass, you want to receive at least that. If you're really lucky, you want to see this from their rear window, right? I try my best to always remember to give that wave. I doubt anybody ever sees it because I'm up in that truck and my truck's dirty, but I try. You know, I try to do that because I know what it is to experience ungratefulness in big things and little things, and little bitty acts of gratefulness, they really do make a difference for us, don't they? It's like for some reason, everything's worthwhile if somebody will just say, thank you. I was in the grocery store a couple weeks ago over at Kroger's, and there was a stature-challenged woman that was there, and she was trying to get this can of boiled peanuts off the shelf. I'm gifted altitudinally. You know, I'm not taller than everyone, but I've got a little bit of height. I think I might have been wearing the boots, so I had that boost of an inch that really gives you confidence. And I said, ma'am, can I grab those peanuts for you? And she said, why, yes, you know. And I was like, oh, yeah. So I got them down and I gave them to her. And she said, thank you, young man. I don't know which I appreciated more, the thank you or the young man, but I appreciated both of them. There's just something that feels good about people noticing that you've done something. You know, and gratefulness, I think it either comes from one of two areas. I think you expect people to be grateful when you do something for them that they could not do for themselves, right? Or when you choose to do something for someone when they could do it for themselves. I think in both of those cases, we want to experience some gratefulness. And I think the bigger the inconvenience, the bigger the gratefulness we'd like to receive. You know, there's time for a head nod. There's time for a high five and a fist bump, isn't there? There's time for a gift card, right? I mean, there is time for somebody to acknowledge it with just a wave, and there's time for somebody to acknowledge it with words or a letter or different things. And all of us have this scale inside that we use to determine how much gratefulness we feel like we should receive based on how much effort we exerted. So I want to share with you just a little bit about my history. I'm going to confess one of my past sins in a little bit. I'll count on you guys to be gracious. I've repented of it. God's been gracious to me. I hope you guys will be gracious to me. But I used to be a waiter. I waited tables for 2 years at the fine establishment called Applebee's. All right, I waited tables for 2 years at Applebee's while I was in college. The good thing about being in college and waiting tables is your hours are flexible. You get the money right at the end of the day, and you can just go blow it immediately, right? I mean, it's a college person's dream. And I would say there are two types of people generally. This is a generalization, okay? that work at restaurants. Generally, it's either people who are up and coming or people who are down and out. That's generally who you will find waiting tables. I'm trying to make it to be a movie star. Well, not in Columbus, you're not, right? I mean, I'm trying to get to this. So I'm doing this to get by so that later I can get ahead. Or I'm doing this so I can survive while I finish up this degree, so that later I can get ahead. Up and coming or down and out, I'm in a bad place and I need to get this money right away. So you run into head first into these two generally completely different types of personalities. And I was not prepared. I was not prepared at 18 years old to go into that establishment and run into head first these different kind of personalities. But I will tell you this, I went into Applebee's thinking all the servers are coming to church with me. Cooks coming to church with me. I'm going to get every one of them in the water. You know, I'm going to share the gospel with all these people, and they're going to love me, and things are going to go great. That did not happen. Not a one. Not a one. After a year there, one of them stole my shirt. And so his name was Stone. It wasn't his real name, but he was fresh out of prison, and that's what people called him. And he was about that intimidating. If you can picture somebody fresh out of prison who earned the nickname Stone in prison, that's what you need to picture. He stole my shirt. I said, dude, you stole my shirt. He went, I said, you took your shirt, sir. You know, you took your shirt. So I prayed about that. I was angry. And about a few weeks later, I said, Stone, why don't you come to church with me? Come to church with me. And he just, no, man, I can't do it. I can't go to church with you. I'll lust after the people at your church, and that just won't be good. So I can't go. And we went rounds and rounds. Never could get him to go to church. I want to come back to those characters in just a second, because what I could not do for them, or what God chose not to do for them in that moment, they did for me. And I owe them a debt of gratitude, which I never shared with them. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. I want you to realize something about the people, if you're going out to eat today, who wait tables for you. Generally, they earn maybe a little over $2.80, something like that. Maybe in the threes now, dollars per hour without your tip. A tip's called a gratuity, right? I think another word for a gratuity might be a gratitude. You are giving your waiter a tip based on how thankful you are for their service for you. I want you to think about that today, because historically, church members and teenagers are considered the worst tippers in the world. Nobody at Applebee's wanted to work on Sundays because you had to serve church members. I don't know if we gave it all in the collection plate on Sunday. We're like, we gave it all to God. We can't give any to you. I'm sorry. God's got it all. I don't know what the mentality is behind that, or if we just gave up all our gratefulness on Sunday morning to the worship. I worshiped all my gratitude out. I don't know what it is, but we tip horribly. And restaurant establishments, people that work there, they know that about us. And they talk about that to each other about us, and it's sad. Now teenagers are just dumb, right? I mean, y'all nod your heads, right? Y'all just don't know that you're supposed to tip. You spent all your money on your girlfriend, and therefore you don't have a tip. I expected that every time. Penny again, thanks, buddy. You know, but think about that. Thank your waiter. Thank your waiter today when you go out to eat. As we're thinking about gratefulness, before we return to that story, I want us to turn to the book of Luke. Chapter 17. We're going to read verses 11 through 19 together. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. This is a story that many of you are familiar with. I think when you think about thankfulness, maybe you think about this story. Maybe this is one of those that comes to mind. We like to have Bible stories that go along with Bible concepts and things like that. So let's just read this together. On the way to Jerusalem, he, being Jesus, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Verse 17, then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner? In verse 19, and he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. I got to think that wasn't just a head nod moment, right? I mean, you don't get healed of a disease that makes you the outcast of your society and turn around to Jesus and just go and then walk off. You know, that's not a fist bump moment with Jesus. That's a turn around and run and grab a hold of Jesus and celebrate and praise. Part of the lesson here is that we don't see that. But I think there is a whole lot in this story that we do see. I think sometimes we read this story and we like to fantasize. Maybe it's just me. I think through, you know, scenarios all the time. I like to think maybe Jesus was like, y'all 9 didn't come back. Boom. How you like that? Double leprosy. You know, I like to think maybe they were walking to the temple and they went to wave and both their hands fell off, their feet fell off. They had to inchworm their way back to Jesus. You know, and then be healed a second time. I just like to think if I were Jesus, I would make sure that they were thankful. Praise God, I'm not Jesus. Amen. 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 Y'all know I'm not Jesus. But I think about that. Now, Billy shared with us last week that our attitude directly determines the attractiveness of Jesus Christ to others. He shared that our gratitude, that will open us up to God, or it will close us off to God. The amount of gratitude that you hold in your heart for what Christ has done for you will either open you up to God or it will close you off to God. He also recognized that each of us comes from a different place, right? Some of us come to church today not feeling great, not feeling a lot of gratitude. Some of us come to church today ecstatic. We had a great weekend. God is seen as good. And some of us are sitting here going, man, I hope he is, because I'm not feeling it today. Today I want us to think about this story, the story of these 10 lepers and Jesus. And I hope to give you a few good takeaways, okay? So, number one, I want you to notice that in their hardship, you find both Samaritans and Jews together. This would not happen without the leprosy, would it? Jesus is walking kind of on this little border. You know, on one side of him, Samaritans, on the other side, Jews. And these guys are, it's like the Berlin Wall in Germany, if you're old enough to remember that, all right? If you're old enough to remember the Berlin Wall in Germany, we don't cross on each other's sides. In fact, I wonder if the lepers weren't placed there just to be kind of a wall of disease, to keep each other from each other. That's just a question that I have. Scripture does not tell us that. That's just something I think about. Were they there strategically to aid in the separation of these two communities? But in this hardship, you find Jews and Samaritans together, don't you? There is something about the hardship that causes us to link arms and causes us to join together. And maybe it caused this Samaritan man to hear about Jesus. Because Scripture tells us that they called to Jesus from afar. They don't run up to Jesus and try to grab hold of his robe. They know that they're unclean. They call to him from afar. So they know that their condition. I told you that my coworkers at Applebee's did something for me that I wasn't able to do for them. We slogging along, working on table waiting. Waiting tables is not the easiest of jobs. You have some great people, and then you have some absolutely horrible people. as far as their demeanor goes. All right? Everybody's a soul in need of a Savior, right? But some people need a little bit more Savior than others sometimes. And sometimes you get bad tables, and there's a unity that comes from that. Sometimes somebody will clean a table for you because they know how busy you are. Sometimes you'll give a table to them because you know how slow things have been for them. And there's a camaraderie and a brotherhood and a fellowship that develops in the drudgery of waiting tables. So over the course of a couple of years, this relationship had developed. They're watching me grow up as a arrogant spaz of a college student. Some of you guys know I can be dumb sometimes. I can do some crazy things. I can say some crazy things, all in the name of making somebody laugh. If you've known me for long, you know that. I guess a good one way to describe me is unpredictable sometimes. So when I was 19, 18, it was way worse. Y'all would have hated me. Some of you would have liked to laugh at me, but you wouldn't want to hang out with me too much. I was annoying. I just was. But I was a great waiter because me in small doses was good. In small doses, it was endearing. In large doses, it was repulsive. All right, so I'm having a bad day. I had some circumstances come up in my life that had led me into, I guess a great word for it would be a depression. I didn't care about school. I didn't really care about my life. I didn't feel great about my Lord. I had lost who I was. And over the course of that time, the waiters began to say, "Man, Paul, we know you're a church guy. We know you don't drink. But if you ever do, we want to be there. Because as nuts as you are without the aid of alcohol, we would like to see just what would happen." You ever like just done something to see what would happen? You know, would it blow up if I did this? That's how they felt about me. I was a science project for them. If you ever do decide to do this, we want to be there. So I had this bad week, couple of weeks. And one day I sat down beside one of the servers and I said, "You know what? I think I'll take you up on that offer. I think I would like to just get wasted." And it was a guy that went to my college. He was a senior, big-time partier. And he put an arm around me and he goes, "Paul, trust me, you don't want to do that." And other waiters came over to me. And they said, "Not like this. It won't be like this." And I didn't. Because in that hardship was some of us on our way up and some of us just trying to survive. They had my back in a very real way. And you know what? I never did say thank you for that. And I regret that. I wish I could have come back there. I wish, you know, today I could look some of those guys up. I've got no way to do it. I've gone by that Applebee's and nobody's there. You don't last long in any one restaurant. You move around a lot. No, none of them are there. I never said thank you. But there's no telling what God saved me from through them. So I think about this story and these lepers, and I think about these Jewish men and this Samaritan man. We don't get the ratio. You know, was there only one Samaritan? I don't know. There may have been three Samaritans and seven Jews. You know, there may have been two Jews and eight Samaritans. All I know is they came, they hollered at Jesus from afar. He said, "Go show yourself to a priest." And they said, "Okay." And for whatever reason, the conversations that they had together were enough for them to take Jesus at his word. Samaritans and Jews. So in their hardship, they were together. But well, also in their health, they're separated, aren't they? They're separated. They're going to see the priest. They find out they're healed. I don't know how it happened. Maybe they're walking down and one of the guys pulls his hand out of his robe and goes, "Oh, we need to go that way." And then goes, "Huh, this is awesome." You know, and then they all go, "We got to go to the priest. We got to show ourselves." And the Samaritan guy goes, "I don't really know the priest. I'm going to go back to this guy who healed me. I don't know how it happened, but he is willing to take on an extra hardship to say thank you, isn't he? Sometimes gratefulness is difficult. Maybe they took three steps and they got healed. You know, and he only had to take three steps back to Jesus. But it would seem if that were the case, all the guys would have turned around. For however the story is, this guy makes it a point to turn around and walk the distance back to Jesus and say, thank you. And I don't know how the other guys rationalized it. Glory to God, these priests are representatives of God. By saying thank you to the priest, we thank God, and that thanks is enough. We all have ways that we rationalize who we give gratitude to and who we don't. But the point is, this guy was willing to go out of his way to say thank you. And I want to ask you guys, are you guys a people who are willing to go out of their way to say thank you? And we're going to do something just a little bit different this morning. No huge surprises. Don't get worried. But I want to give you guys 30, 45 seconds of silence to just really quickly think through your life. And think about someone who's made a difference to the glory of God in your life. And think about whether or not you formally thanked them. So I want to give you 30, 45 seconds. Let's just take that right now. Think about someone who's made a difference in your life, a godly difference, and think about how or whether or not you've acknowledged that. 35 seconds. Let's go. I hope you are able to think of somebody. Next truth, being thankful actually works on you. Time Magazine produced an article last week that I thought was fascinating, and I want to share this with you guys. This is about being thankful. Choosing to be thankful, actually making time to be thankful, increases both your patience and your sensibility. Northeastern University did a study with 105 grad students where they had them sit down and make daily lists of thankfulness. And after doing that for a week, they sat down with the grad students that did that and the grad students that didn't do that, and they made them a financial offer. They said, guys, we can give you $100 now or $10,000 in a few weeks. And significantly, the ones who had not made the practice of being thankful and mindful of their blessings chose to take the $100 now instead of the massive amounts of funds later. I know what you're thinking. Why are you guys in college? You made it to grad school? Being thankful actually replenishes your reserve of willpower. It makes it more or less difficult for you to avoid sinful behavior. Experiencing gratitude, it improves relationships. I think that's a no-brainer, don't you think? If I think about what I'm thankful for in another person, I think that would it improve my relationship? It also improves your personal well-being, your health. It affects your diet. If you practice thankfulness, studies have shown that you'll actually eat better if you're thankful. It gives you better sleep. If you'll make a list, if you'll do your thankfulness list right before you put your head down on the pillow, you will sleep better at night. Because the things that are in your mind as you close your eyes are the things that you're thankful for. Gratitude is powerful. A couple things, and then we'll close up. Let's realize that some of our blessings, they come from right up close, but some of them come from a distance. Because when I think about the story of the lepers, I also think about the story of the woman who suffered from bleeding. You guys remember that story? She'd gone to all the doctors. She'd spent all of her money. It's in Luke chapter 8, and she kind of sneaks and worms her way through a crowd, hoping just to kind of make contact with the robe of Jesus. These guys never make physical contact with Jesus. this woman does, but each one of them have something exposed, don't they? Each one of them have something exposed and they have something healed. I think it's so interesting that Jesus turns to this woman and says, hey, or turns around and says, hey, who touched me? He feels the power go out of him. I think about that and I think, you know what? Some of us do need to get up close and personal. And we need to make some proclamations and cry out for healing. Some of us need to get in our life groups. And we need to sit back and cry unclean, unclean. And receive that blessing. Some of us just need to get in our prayer closets and spend some time with the Lord and call out to the Lord from a distance and receive that grace. But both of us are called to action when we realize our lack of cleanliness. I'll close with this. Jesus' blessing was neither dependent nor conditioned on those people's goodness. It was dependent on their faith. Jesus did not say, be healed of leprosy because you were a good boy last week. He said, go and present yourself to the priests. And when they did, on their way, however far they got, they were healed. Not because they were good, but because he was good. Not because they had power, but because he did. So I'd say some of us don't feel very good right now. Your feelings are not keeping you from the blessings of God. Your sense of self, your personal evaluation is not keeping you from the goodness of God. Some of us feel pushed away by our families or forgotten, especially on weekends like that. That is not a barrier between you and the grace and the goodness of God. Some of us have a hidden issue that we've been trying to get free from for years. It's affecting the people around us and they don't even know it. We're irritable towards them. We avoid them. We treat them poorly because of something we're dealing with. And we withheld love and we've been distant from them. That is not keeping you from the grace of God. Some of us have forgotten how much we've been thankful for. The forgiveness of Jesus has gotten old. For all of us, I want to read Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Who did Christ die for? Ungodly, right? The ungodly, not the godly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still what? Sinners, Christ died for us. Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. So if you're sitting here and you're finding trouble in the whole gratitude area, and you feel like you call out to Jesus all you want, and he won't hear, it's not dependent on you. It's dependent on his goodness. I want to give you an invitation. If you've not yet experienced the goodness of Jesus Christ, if you've not chosen to be clothed in Christ in the waters of baptism, if you haven't cried out the saving power of his blood and made a proclamation of faith in him as the Son of God, if you'd like to experience the kind of gratitude that 10 lepers should have experienced, and one definitely did, or that a woman who could not be made clean did, you have the opportunity to do so today. If you've got a sin problem that you're struggling with and you've kept it a secret for years and you just can't beat it because you're a human being, then you have an opportunity to come and request the healing power of Jesus through prayer. And we, as your brothers and sisters, will challenge you. We will take action against that sin with you. We'll help you get help and help you find change so that you can share in the gratitude of the healed. So if you need to give your life to Christ, or if you need to restore yourself, or be restored by Christ, excuse me, you're not restored yourself, be restored in Christ, we invite you to come and do so while we stand and we sing.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I